بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد. الحمد لله. Tonight is the 23rd of April in the year 2024. And Alhamdulillah, we moved on to the 81st night that we're going through the illustrious and noble life of the Blessed Companion, Sayyidina Amr ibn al-As radiyallahu anhu. So after setting the stage, the next section entitled Call to Arms from Both Sides. After the tragic battle of the Camel, which was initiated by the rebels and mischief mongers on both sides, and with our beloved mother, Sayyida Aisha radiyallahu anha, being respectfully returned to her honorable residence by the Amir al-Mu'mineen and the return of his venerable sons, he thus now reorganized his forces and marched towards Ash-Sham and Sayyidina Muawiyah, despite the earnest pleas of his son Hassan radiyallahu anhu. So Sayyidina Hassan, he pleaded radiyallahu anhu, "Dear father, desist from this, for it will cause a great bloodshed of the Muslims and set in motion an unending dispute and conflict amongst them." This is recorded in Al-Bidayah 7-229-230. So, just a brief point. I haven't mentioned anything about the Battle of the Camel. The reason being, it's not related to Sayyidina Amr radiyallahu anhu. So, all of that is not mentioned here. But after the Battle of the Camel, Amir al-Mu'mineen respectfully told his sons to go with Sayyida Aisha back to her residence. After she had returned peacefully, they came back. And now Hazrat Ali decided to march towards Hazrat Muawiyah. And like I mentioned, Sayyidina Hassan pleaded for him not to do this. Note that these narratives clearly indicate that the exalted grandson of our beloved Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sent for peace. The supplication of his grandfather had undoubtedly been answered. So obviously he wasn't the Khalif, he was the son of the Khalif. But you can see from this, his mindset was of peace. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had made a dua that he would bring peace. And we could see this even from these moments. However, Sayyidina Ali, as I mentioned, he was determined and he marched out. It is related, the Amir al-Mu'mineen radiyallahu anhu prepared for a military expedition to Ash-Sham, and he sent messengers to call the people to arms. This is recorded in Hakim in his Mustadrak, Al-Isaba 1-123-4, which has a Hassan chain. So as he's marching, he's calling Muslims to come to his side. He prepared a colossal army. In Al-Bidayah 7-265, the number mentioned is 150,000. But in Tariq ibn Khayyat, page 193, it mentions 90,000. However, both of these reports are da'if. So you'll get in one version there's 150,000 plus, but the hadith chain of transmission is weak. Another mentions 90,000, but this is also a weak transmission. But we have an authentic report. In Tariq ibn Khayyat, page 193, graded Hassan, the force numbered 50,000. So again, it's very important to determine the numbers. So an authentic report says Amir al-Mu'mineen, he mustered a force of 50,000. Subhanallah, reflect also upon the following awesome narration on the authority of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu from our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Tadudul hayal islami li khamsin wa thalathina aw sittin wa thalathina aw sab'in wa thalathin. The mill of Islam will revolve steadily till 35 or 36 or 37, i.e. years after the Hijrah. This is recorded in Abu Dawud, Mishkat, in the chapter on trials and calamities. So again, this is another unending miracle prophecy of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He's saying Islam will progress smoothly until the 35th, 36th, 37th, meaning after the Hijrah. So what was being referred to? So in Mazahir-e-Haq, it mentions, in 35 AH took place the martyrdom of Sayyidina Uthman, radiyallahu. In 36 AH took place the battle of the Qamar between Sayyidina Ali and Sayyidina Aisha's forces, radiyallahu. And in 37 AH, the battle of Siffin was fought between Ali and Muawiyah, radiyallahu. The author stated this was the view also of Shah Waliullah Dahlawi, rahmatullahi. So note the Prophet's mentioning specific dates, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and exactly like he mentioned, traumatic events were taking place. 35th was Uthman's martyrdom, 36th, Battle of the Camel, 37th, the Battle of Siffin. The dreaded mill which the Prophet predicted was now truly turning. The march towards Siffin, crossing the Euphrates, the Amir al-Mu'mineen encamped at a faithful place called Siffin. It is related, Sayyidina Qais ibn Harsha radiyallahu anhu and Qa'ab al-Ahbar rahmatullah alayh once came to Siffin in one of their journeys. Qa'ab thereupon remarked rahmatullah alayh, the Torah has prophesied bloodshed of Muslims at this place. Subhanallah. This is in Bayhaqi in Al-Bidayah. So now, like I mentioned, we shouldn't find these reports strange. The people of the book have amazing things mentioned about Islam. So here, according to the great rabbi who embraced Islam from the generation of the Tabi'i, he said at Siffin, the Torah has prophesied bloodshed amongst Muslims. So again, how on earth is that mentioned in the Torah? But this shows that this was a decree of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So let's now turn to Sayyidina Muawiyah's camp, radiyallahu. Back in Sham, Sayyidina Muawiyah, radiyallahu, had also now made preparations. The Umayyad chiefs who had fled from Al-Madinah had all come to him. They had been the people who had been in the public eyes for years. They thus added to Muawiyah's strength. So when Uthman was the Khalif, radiyallahu, many of his cousins who were companions were governors. So the people who came to Muawiyah's side were from that class. So they were, you know, nobles with authority. And this gave great strength to Muawiyah, radiyallahu. Blessed companions had also taken the side of Muawiyah. As mentioned, Sayyidina Amr ibn al-As, his son, Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As, Sayyidina Qa'ab ibn Murrah, Sayyidina Habis ibn Sa'atay, amongst others, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. So like I mentioned, not more than 100, whatever, both sides, but these were some of the companions who were on the side of Muawiyah, radiyallahu. In addition, as already mentioned, the whole of Ash-Sham had sworn to avenge the death of the late Khalif. Sayyidina Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, he rallied his troops and he related to them a hadith. He goes, I have heard Rasulullah say, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this ummah will remain obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's injunctions, and they will thus not be harmed by anyone who will oppose them until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's order, i.e. the day of judgment, is established. He then added, Malik ibn Yuhanmur radiyallahu anhu relays on the authority of Mu'ad ibn Jabal radiyallahu anhu that Rasulullah had thereupon said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the victorious group are in Sham. And indeed the people of Sham are the victorious group over those who contested them. So let's look at this. So this is recorded in Imam Ahmad in his Musnad, number 21,816, with a Sahih chain of transmission. So obviously you need to rally your force So what better way to rally your force than to mention something from the Prophet ﷺ? So Hazrat Muawiyah, he heard something directly from the Prophet. The second he didn't, but he related who this came from. So what he heard directly was the great glad tidings from the Prophet ﷺ, that there will be a group who will not be harmed by anybody until Allah Ta'ala's order descends, meaning they will remain firm. There's a special group of Muslims. Then Hazrat Muawiyah said, and he mentioned who he got this from. He goes, Mu'ad ibn Jabal heard Rasulullah say, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this group are in Ash-Sham. And indeed the people of Ash-Sham are the victorious group over those who contest with them. So what he was basically saying was, we are the people of Sham. And people are now contesting our understanding. He goes, we cannot be defeated because of what the Rasulullah has said. So, and this is a Sahih hadith in Imam Ahmad's Musnad. So Hafiz ibn Kathir, he commented here, rahmatullah alayh, in Al-Bidayah, in the section on the biography of Muawiyah radiyallahu. By this, Sayyidina Muawiyah radiyallahu, he was urging the people of Asham to challenge the people of Iraq. Indeed, this was what prompted Muawiyah's justification in urging the people of Sham to fight against the people of Iraq. So Hafiz ibn Kathir said this was a cornerstone report which he used to urge his forces to oppose the people of Iraq. Indeed, the people of Ash-Sham, they were the most obedient to their Amir. However, there is a report. Abu Miljas, he relates a very interesting report. Sayyidina Muawiyah radiyallahu, he went out to the people as they were opposing him concerning a matter. Thus he said as a warning to others who may follow suit, I have heard Rasulullah say, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whoever desires to imitate those who rebel, then in reality sets up a seat for himself in the hellfire. This is recorded in Imam Ahmad in his Musnad, number 16,473 or 4-100. So let's look at this. So there was a particular order and for a very interesting scenario. They were opposing this order. We don't know what that order was. And he told them a hadith. And he basically was warning others not to follow this threat. He goes, I have heard Rasulullah say, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whoever desires to imitate those who rebel, like these have done now, they set themselves a seat for themselves in the hellfire. So this is an important report. Why? Because yes, the people were obedient to him, but it wasn't completely without any challenge. There were some qualms with regards to some matters. We don't know what the matter was. But he said, do not imitate these people. Indeed, one then becomes hard-pressed to find another instance of the people opposing Sayyidina Muawiyah. So yes, the people were very obedient, they listened, they followed, but there were some grievances amongst the people. However, the vast majority followed him without any question. It is also related that Sayyidina Nu'man ibn Bashir radiyallahu, he relates from Sayyidina Aisha radiyallahu, that our beloved messenger said to Uthman sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it may well be that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala invests you with a shirt. Thus, if they demand that you remove it, do not remove it until you meet me sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So I, Nu'man, said to her, O mother of the believers, where was this? This could have saved his life. She replied, I forgot. By Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I did not recollect. Thus I informed Muawiyah ibn Abu Sufyan of this, radiyallahu anhu, but he wasn't satisfied until he had written to the mother of the believers, requesting she write this to him about it herself, and she did. So this is recorded in Ahmad in his Musnad, number 24,045 with a Sahih Janab transmission. So this is another very interesting report. So this is another Sahih Hadith in Ahmad. So what did Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say to Uthman radiyallahu? He goes, it may be that Allah Ta'ala invests you with a shirt. If they demand you remove it, don't remove it until you meet me. So the shirt was the Khilafat. He goes, you will be given the Khilafat. If they demand you remove the Khilafat, you must not remove it until you meet me. You can't give the Khilafat up. So look what Nu'man said. Nu'man ibn Bashir, who was the nephew of Abdullah ibn Rawaha, radiallahu anhu. He goes, oh mother, where was this? Now what did he mean by that? So what did he mean by that? Where was this? MashaAllah, already fell asleep. So let's explain. So Nu'man ibn Bashir, he understood what this hadith meant. If Rasulullah told Uthman, you cannot give up the Khilafat, what were the rebels asking?
Give up the Khilafat.
So he was saying to Aisha, who narrated this hadith, why didn't you mention this? That would have saved his life. She goes, I forgot. Then the report says, Nu'man ibn Bashir, he goes, I mentioned this to Muawiyah. And even he wasn't happy about this. He goes, I need to confirm this. He wrote to Aisha, and Aisha wrote back saying, this is true. So why is this narration very important? Whose resolve did this strengthen? Muawiyah's, radiallahu anhu. But look how interesting, Hazrat Muawiyah, this shows that he wasn't just narrating, accepting hadiths. Even though a sahaba told him, Nu'man ibn Bashir, he could have said, that's it. But because it's a hadith, he had to take relevant steps. So he asked Aisha through correspondence, is this true? And she said, yes. So now if he was killed and he was obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his blood is unlawful, clearly. So Hazrat Muawiyah was greatly, his resolve greatly strengthened with this hadith. But the tragedy, our mother forgot. So at the time when Uthman was being besieged, if she had remembered and got this message across, any companion would have got up and said, Rasulullah has prohibited Uthman to give the Khilafat up. And he warned about your, he would have finished the matter. But Allah Ta'ala caused this narration to be forgot. And that's why Nu'man couldn't believe it. He goes, mother, where was this? She goes, I forgot. He goes, you know, it was the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these reports which I've mentioned, Sahih, many in the Musnad, is now explaining how Muawiyah is preparing. And notice they've got texts. You know, it's not just like we're just going by our whim and desires. So they were fully resolved in their commitment. So here, to make a start on this section, vital clarifications. Indeed, it is clear that both Ali and Muawiyah radiallahu anhuma considered the other to have taken the wrong course of action. If this was not the case, it would simply have not been permissible for either one to oppose and then ultimately take up arms against the other. So this is straightforward. Muawiyah radiallahu anhu thought Hazrat Ali has made an error of judgment. Hazrat Ali is considering Muawiyah in the wrong. So obviously this is what ended up with the whole scenario. The belief of each side was so intense that Ali used to supplicate in his kunut nazila against Muawiyah in his salah, as did Muawiyah against Ali, but they never cursed. So again, this is so important. So what is kunut nazila?
Dua.
Which dua?
Fajr.
So the dua is made in salat when you need the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It could be any salat, any of the obligatory prayers. So Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu, he is making a dua against Muawiyah in salat. Hazrat Muawiyah is making dua in salat against Ali. This is true. But they never cursed each other. So a proof. In Al-Akhbar At-Tawal, page 165, Tahqiq Mawaqif As-Sahaba Fil-Fitna 2-232. it mentions. Sayyidina Ali, radiyallahu, he heard two of his companions openly reviling Muawiyah, radiyallahu, and cursing the people of Sham. He thus sent word to them, informing them to stop what they were doing. They thereupon came to him confused, because Amir al-Mu'mineen, are we not in the right? Are they not in the wrong? He responded, yes, by the Lord of the Kaaba. They then said, then why are you stopping us from reviling and cursing them? He responded, I do not want you to be a people who curse. Rather supplicate, O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, protect our blood and theirs, and reconcile between us and them. Save them from their misguidance, so that truth will become clear to those who are unaware of it, and those who got carried away in misguidance will give up their stubborn ways. Subhanallah. So what's happening? This is the misunderstanding. Hazrat Ali, for instance, is saying, O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, help us against the forces of Muawiyah. We are marching for your cause. Make them suffer a defeat. Hazrat Muawiyah, in his dua, is saying the same. Help us against the forces of Amir al-Mu'mineen. Because they are in the wrong. But they never cursed. Hazrat Ali wasn't saying, Ya Allah, deprive Muawiyah of the mercy. He's brought forces against me. That's not true. Nor did Hazrat Muawiyah say, may Allah Ta'ala curse the Amir al-Mu'mineen. That's not true. But the people within their forces, they were doing this. Some of the Muslims were ignorantly cursing now. And Hazrat Ali, was he happy over that? He wasn't. He stopped it. He goes, stop doing this. So they then said, but aren't we in the right? He goes, yes, we're in the right. He goes, why are you stopping us from cursing them? He goes, I don't want you to curse. Now look at the beautiful dua he asked them to make. And this dua was answered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, protect our blood and theirs. Reconcile between us and them, which ultimately happened. Save them from their misguidance, ultimately happened. So that the truth will become clear to those who are unaware of it, ultimately happened. And those who got carried away in misguidance will give up their stubborn ways, which ultimately happened. So this is a proof. Thus, one cannot stress this enough. The reports which mention that they used to curse each other are historical fabrications. So you will find in the books that Hazrat Ali cursed Muawiyah and his forces. You will find in the books that Muawiyah cursed Ali and his forces. You'll find everything in the books. But these are fabrications. So who said it? Did I say it? Hafiz ibn Kathir said, Rahmatullah Ali, the reports mentioning they cursed each other are not authentic. This is in Al-Bidayah 4-395. And how could it be? When Rasulullah himself ordered, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whoever curses a believer, it is as if he has killed him. This is in Sahih Bukhari 7-84. So think about it. Are you accusing the companions to disobey a direct command of Rasulullah? Impossible, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And similarly, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the believer is not given to slandering and cursing. That's not his trait. This is in Sahih Sunan At-Tirmidhi, number 1110. Meaning he could have traits, but one of the traits that's not in him, he doesn't curse or slander. And he also said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, those who are given to cursing cannot intercede or be witnesses on the Day of Judgment. This is in Sahih Muslim, number 2589. So there was no cursing. The reports which mentioned that Ali cursed Muawiyah and vice versa, radiyallahu anhuma, is not proven in the chains of transmission. It includes the arch liar, Abu Makhnaf, Lut ibn Yahya, the extreme Rafidi. So this person, again and again, his name keeps propping up. He's called one of the Dajjals in the terms of Hadith literature. He's perverted Islamic history. Abu Makhnaf, and in these reports of cursing, his name emerges again. He's the one who's making these, lies up. Similarly, again, it cannot be stressed enough Hazrat Muawiyah never contested Ali over the Khilafat. So again, it's very important to clear the lies. There's so many lies here. You know, people say, oh, they were cursing each other, they fought each other, they hated each other. And the response to that is, where have you sung that from? And then he goes, well, they all fought. You don't fight someone unless you hate them. Yeah, if you're like you. Sahaba aren't like you. They're fighting because they believe that their view was correct. And then he goes, but it's mentioned in books of history that they cursed. Yes, it's mentioned. Is it authentic? How can it be authentic when Rasulullah prohibited it? Unless you believe that the believers, they were the best of the believers. Other believers later on were the ones who didn't curse, but the Sahaba did. Can you believe that? Right? So obviously there was no cursing. But yes, they did make dua for help and victory against their opponents. But that is not a case of cursing. Astaghfirullah. So all I mentioned today was now again preparing up to the inevitable sad encounter. But it's so important to explain the truth, the reality of what's taking place. Notice even in the numbers, these exaggerations. 150,000. But the reality was there's 50,000. It's not small, Ellen. If somebody goes, 150,000 came on the side of Ali, it's 50,000. But it's in Al-Bidayah, but it's weak. He says, no, it's like a slight difference of just you've added 100,000. So who's adding 100,000 to the cause? And the response is 50,000. And then, of course, when you look at the authentic reports, you see the beauty. That the reality was they were fully obeying the commands of Allah Ta'ala and His Messenger. And you expect that from the companions. Unless you turn to perverted history. Astaghfirullah. Are there any questions? Let us. سبحان بحمد سبحانك اللهم بحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك اعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم سبحان ربك رب العزه عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والاصل الانسان في خسر الذين امنوا وعملوا الصالحات والتواصوا بالحق والتواصوا بالصبر صدق الله العظيم